Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The turnout reached record lows. This was in the by-elections this weekend, with very few voters actually going to the polls on Friday. Turnout was the lowest in Dublin Fingal, with an average of only 25.6% of people voting in Wexford. The constituency with the highest turnout of the four by-elections, turnout was 35.1%. Ah, yes, the old rural Ireland. They come out in force, usually, don't they? While turnout in by-elections is usually significantly lower anyway than general elections, the figure still prompted very much a lot of concerns over the weekend. And as I mentioned to you, in one particular area, I believe one of the ballot boxes was actually empty. That's how bad it was. Turnout in some areas was really low. It was in single figures. I mean, some blamed wider dissatisfaction with politics, while others pointed to the proximity of a general election next year. A lot of people were saying, sure, look, I'm going to be voting in a general election next year, so what's the point? Blame was also pointed towards the cold weather and even the Late Late Toy Show. Can we just mention the Late Late Toy Show? No. Why am I allowed to talk about the toy show? All I said, there was murder here in the office today, right? Murder. All I said was, and I did watch the toy show, all I said was, it was a 5 out of 10. That's all I said. And you think I had just murdered somebody in the office. I mean, I watch the toy show every year. It was great, by the way. It was very good. But I just thought it was a 5 out of 10. I think they've lost the meaning of the toy show. The toy show used to be about the toys and the young children. And, you know, and there was always a kind of range of different types of young children from different backgrounds, which is all great. But now it's kind of all about the singing and dancing and the all sorts of other, you know, giving away prizes to the audience. And so the audience made out like bandits. So, I mean, it's more about sponsorship and it's more about the singing and dancing and the whole theme of it. And then, you know, a few political issues thrown in kind of as well. And it's not about, you know, the kids anymore and the toys. It was about the toys. I used to love watching the toy show anyway. So I'll go on a rant. I'll talk about that later. She doesn't want me to talk about it, but I am going to talk about it later on, the toy show. Right, sorry, yes. Yeah, so they blame the toy show with the poor turnout. And turnout in Irish general elections is generally low compared to the rest of Western Europe. So should we introduce compulsory voting? Now, compulsory voting is an effect of laws which require eligible citizens to register and vote in elections and may impose penalties on those who fail to do so. As of August 2013, 22 countries provide for compulsory voting and 11 of them actually enforce it. Take Belgium, for example. People over the age of 18, registered non-Belgian voters, are obliged to present themselves in their polling station. If they don't, they get a fine. They don't have to cast a vote, by the way. But if they fail to present themselves without prior justification or reason at the polling station, they will face prosecution. Also, Australia will fine you as well if you don't turn up for voting or if you don't vote. You can vote postal votes as well in Australia. Furthermore, if they fail to vote in at least 4 elections, they can lose the right to vote for 10 years. There's a good option. So if you don't turn up for a vote, well, then you lose the right to vote in the next election, maybe. And the arguments against compulsory voting are that some see voting as a civic right rather than a civic duty, while citizens may exercise their civic rights, free speech, except for the right to attorney, they are not compelled to do so. Some say it is essentially a compelled speech act, which violates freedom of speech because the freedom to speak doesn't necessarily include the freedom not to speak. So tonight I want to know what you think of compulsory voting. Would you agree with it? Is it a bit nanny state to even suggest it? We generally, with the exception of the last 3 referendums, we've had very poor voting in this country. I mean, the children's referendum was a disaster. Disaster. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, it was a landslide, obviously, for a yes vote in the end, but it was a disaster for turnout and for voting. It was very low. I mean, and there has been other referendums, which most of you probably didn't even remember. Like, for example, wasn't there one there about the age of the president? There was hardly anybody bloody voted in that one. They didn't change the age in the end. So, I mean, there's been a lot of different votes that we and elections that have been pretty bad in turnout. The European elections weren't great this year either. That was a pretty low turnout. I mean, when you think about it, 25%. In some areas in the European elections, the voting was as low average as 4%. And they say, generally speaking, in working class areas or areas of a low socioeconomic background, that they have a lower turnout. Why is that? I wonder. I don't know why that is. Let me know what you think. Should there be compulsory voting? Would you agree with the idea of compulsory voting? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Before you all start to go into a panic, by the way, they may not have been voting in your area on Friday. The by-elections weren't in every area, all right? So let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Should there be compulsory voting? And before you ask me, I live in Swords in the Fingal area. I couldn't tell you who was even running the elections, and I didn't bother me hole to vote. So there, I'm just being honest with you, all right? So I'm not going to stand here and pontificate to everybody else, but I will take up a contrary argument as well if people come on the air and say you shouldn't vote. So I didn't bother. Well, I was too busy, all right? And, you know, and I couldn't be bothered. I didn't really know any of them. I've never heard of them. Well, there was one of them here I've heard, and I wouldn't vote for it, to be honest with you. But in saying that, I didn't vote. So let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That you can WhatsApp or text. Do you believe there should be compulsory voting? Seamus, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Seamus?
How are you doing, though?
Yeah, well, Seamus, it's hard for me to pontificate when I didn't bother me whole myself on Friday. So, you know.
Not to worry. But look, it's interesting, the points you made there. It's a very much a communist approach, isn't it, to a democratic procedure?
Well, yeah. I mean, and somebody makes a good point with, it is your right rather than a duty because, you know.
It's a right that's being fought for, right? And we understand how people may be disgruntled if people don't cast their vote. Unfortunately, the low turnouts over the last few years is because young people, especially in this country, they've lost faith in the system. And unfortunately, you know, young voters, if they've lost faith in the system, they tend to shy away or lose interest. And when they lose interest, they don't cast their vote. The unfortunate thing in all of this is there's too much emphasis placed on the names of the usual suspects in terms of who to vote for.
Well, these were parties.
As opposed to
yeah.
clarifying to the nation, if you don't actually vote, this is what happens to the unallocated vote. Mm. And that's where the problem lies then. And we have the same Muppet show that we've had for the last 10 years of Fine Gael. Oh, by the way, the only good news I have to say on that is that they've won no new seats in the by-elections, which is a positive before the general election next year.
The general election.
Because
which is most likely going to be sometime around March, probably, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully soon enough. But, you know.
Unless Brexit's extended again. But.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can say on this, any of the young voters that will be listening, like, remember those words that were used, like, a couple of years back, that, you know, to young people in Ireland, like, basically, move in with your parents, ask for the inheritance, or leave the country. So, you know, taking all that into account, people should be just encouraged, basically, by
What about the idea of, maybe not so much prosecution or fine, but that if you don't vote, be it in a general election or referendum, in the important ones, particularly in general election, that you should be banned from voting in the next one?
That's as far as going to the head.
When I say vote, you should be, I mean, turn up. You can spoil your vote, obviously. You know, that's your choice. You know?
It's your choice as well. They're harsh measures, to be honest with you. I think, the dangers in all of that as well is that you can have people who can actually inadvertently rig a voting process by doing the opposite. I mean, look at the Cambridge Analytica, just an example, right, in terms of human mentality and all that.
Did you watch the documentary, by the way, The Hack?
Oh, The Great Hack. What a documentary. I mean, every young voter...
It's a bit long.
Really
I enjoyed it, but it's a bit long. They could have summed it up in an hour and a half.
They could have. I mean, when you look at the data and how it was actually manipulated, it was just incredible. Like, uh-huh. Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't write it. Like.
Yeah, it was incredible to watch. And it was stuff that I think we kind of suspected, but certainly didn't probably believe was happening, you know?
Yeah.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about Facebook, obviously, and Cambridge Analytica, and the way your data
Netflix
is used.
The Great Hack, it's called, yeah.
The way your data has been used to sell stuff to you, essentially. But Seamus, so you don't agree with the idea of compulsory voting? There is countries around the world that do it. You know, there are 22 countries. Australia is one of them, for example. But mind you, in Australia, they have other options. There's postal voting, online voting, and all sorts of other things. So the problem in Ireland is you have to go to a polling station.
You do. But that's, you know, I mean, it should be by invitation. Not, you know, the gun shouldn't be put to the head. The unfortunate thing there is that, like, you can have individuals that place a cast of vote despite the process. Oh, I don't think it's fine, so basically I'll throw a vote against the regime or whatever it may be. It's pointless.
Yeah.
So, you know, it should only, the real clarification should be via the media to the public in general as to what will happen if you don't.
The other problem I have with voting is in the last couple of referendums, we've had double referendums whereby there's been two issues on the table, and one usually gets or dilutes the other one. And I can remember a couple, for example, the children's referendum was one, the presidential age was the other, where there was another issue on the table at the same time. I think the presidential one was the marriage equality was the same day. So,
that's right.
So nobody gave a shit about the presidential one, and people didn't really understand what
they were voting for. Yeah, you know, these are cleverly orchestrated by the people in power as well. When you look at the bigger picture, people should watch Cambridge Analytica. They'll start to get a grander view or a more distant viewpoint. Our perspective on everything and how it all operates in terms of the health system. But yeah, obviously having those referendums held, you know, within minutes of each other practically, tells you what kind of plot is going on behind the scenes with those in power, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ultimately, the only weapon that you have against the system as it stands, if you're not happy with it, is to you know, make it clarify via the media to all young voters out there, this is what will happen to the vote if you don't cast it, but it's your decision. If you're not happy with the system, you know what to do. And already we've seen that result via the by-election.
And the media are kind of partly responsible too. I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, we don't really do a political show here anyway. But in saying that, I mean, should we never even mention the by-elections? Now, we're not meant to mention them 24 hours beforehand, because obviously there's an embargo on them, or, you know, I mean, we're prohibited from doing so. But we never spoke about it. If there's a general election come up, a referendum, we're all over it. But we never even spoke about the by-elections. We didn't talk to any of the candidates. I'm sure RTE did a little bit of it, but we never spoke to anybody.
No.
You know, should there be an obligation on the media to cover it to a certain extent?
There should be, yeah. I mean, failing that, you're looking at North Korean TV, which has happened through RT and some
of it wasn't a concerted effort. I didn't say to Lena, I don't want to talk about it, it sounds boring. Yeah. Mind you, it did sound boring. But I didn't mind, it wasn't that I didn't want to talk about it. It was just that nobody else was talking about it, so I figured it wasn't worth talking about.
Yeah, I don't know about that now, but I mean, the only thing I can say on all this is that, like, there should be more clarity, that's all. If you have clarity as to what will happen if it's not cast, that you know, that's, you can only invite people to do it. You can't put the gun to the head and get the results. The results could blow up in your face.
Was there voting in your area, Seamus? Was there by-elections or candidates in your area?
There were. I won't go into the detail now because I obviously support certain individuals, but like...
Yeah.
What was
the turnout like in your area?
I'm not 100% sure, actually, so I don't have those kind of figures. But
well, I heard today that one ballot box is actually empty. That's how bad it was.
Doesn't surprise me.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, because Joseph, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Joseph?
Hi, Ned. How are you?
Joseph, compulsory voting. Seamus wouldn't be in favour of it. It's a bit nanny-state-ish, and maybe he's kind of right. Should there be any sanctions for not, you know...
Yeah, I like the Australian system, but I would modify it. I would have it that you have to have none of the above, obviously, if you're forced out to vote. And also that you're allowed to give a ranking of all of the candidates that are there, irrespective of whether you vote for them or not. So if you go none of the above, you can give them all a rating there as well. And you should be allowed to give a comment. So if you're forced out to vote, and I believe you should be, actually, because I believe the reason, there's many reasons why the vote was turned.
You're not going to give me the men died in 1916 for your right to vote, and you should...
No, I mean, look, we are living in a democracy, and the reality is it's dying, okay? And the reason is because you have a diarrhea on RTE. That's their political their political shows is just pure diarrhea. I mean, I'll be so honest with you. You know, I don't agree with a lot of your views, right? But one thing I'll say is, right, the stuff that we have talked about on this program, you wouldn't get past the phone call in RTE. They don't cover the it is pure politically correct diarrhea for the brain.
What I call North Korean TV.
Yeah,
I agree with that call there. Like, any referendum that's come up in the past, they air certain types of documentaries or informative shows, whatever it may be, all in line with what Fianna Gael or Fianna Fáil believe.
Yeah,
hang on, Seamus, let Joseph finish.
What Seamus is saying there, I mean, look, maybe I take a slightly different view, tiny bit different view. It is like North Korean television but here's the thing, right? All it is a complete closed bubble talking shop of leftist issues. And anyone who tells me Fine Gael is a right-wing party or is right of centre...
Who told you that?
...is deluded. They are not.
No, they're far from it.
They are, look, they have stolen the clothes of the far left.
Well, Fianna Fáil were always considered to be the Conservative Party.
They were no, Fianna Fáil used to be known as the Labour Party, used to be known as the
Workers' Party, yeah.
Well, the Labour Party, you know, in a very mild version of it. But the reality is they're all competing on way over on the left. Nobody on RT points out any of the stuff that they're at. And that, like, for example, I'll give you a perfect example, right, of how bland it's not even bland, it's beyond bland. It's like watching mud dry on a wall over decades.
Kind of get the gist of it now, yeah, go on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but I'll give the example. For example, the UK obviously has voted to leave the EU, right?
Yeah.
Now, RTE have only just peddled the EU narrative from day one and sure. The Irish government falling in behind them. Whether you agree or disagree, the problem is they have never given any extra thought to anything else and said to themselves, well, I've never heard them screaming and outcrying, this was a democratic vote to leave the EU.
Yeah, there's an assumption that it was a bad decision, an immediate assumption that it's a bad decision. That's the default. Yes.
Across the board, RTE, BBC, but I'm just picking on RTE because we're in Ireland, right? Same with TV3, all the rest of them. I don't even turn them on. But I do listen to it.
Ivan and Matt at night are okay.
Sorry?
Ivan and Matt at night, the Tonight Show.
Okay.
I'm only saying that because I'm on it every now and again.
No, I have actually missed you, but I don't watch it because I can't stand Matt Cooper.
All right, okay, fair enough.
I can't stand.
I don't think Matt Cooper can stand Matt Cooper, in fairness.
Well, anyway, you know, and Ivan Yates tries to be a bit controversial, and he's not.
He's great, Ivan.
No, I don't dislike the man.
Yeah, he's great.
I just feel it's a bit trying to be controversial. He's not really, but he at least he's honest when he talks about. He's more brutal about the politicians than any of the commentators.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just want to go back to the point I was making about. Nobody says here, nobody, not one single leftist commentator in RTE says, oh, by the way, our Prime Minister II, or Taoiseach as we call him, should say, the British have just voted to leave. The first thing we should be looking for here is a free trade agreement. The second thing is, let's scratch our heads and think, what else do we need to do? Because the British have voted to leave. This is a democratic vote. No, they've attacked the democratic vote from day one, blandly across the board, every single one of them, from Pat Kenny to every one of them. And all they're doing is carrying assassinations every day. That's all they do. And then when you turn on the week in politics on RT, God, I mean, when I accidentally turn it on, when I just want to look at teletext stuff,
Teletext is gone now, isn't it?
No, it's still there on RT.
Well, it is going, isn't it? But
is it going?
Yeah, well, they've decided it's going, yeah.
Honest a pity, because it's a great way to run down.
But Joseph, would you not just go online?
No, because you see, I do, yeah, but you get bombarded by it once you turn on Google, the thing, the screen as well. All this
because RT news. Teletext, as you know, would be the headlines from RT News. So
they're just pulling it straight off the internet, which is from Reuters and all the others. If they were to link to a true website, they'd be linking to Drudge, who links all of the headline news.
Yeah.
But they don't do that.
You're the only one I know who actually uses Teletext. I don't know anybody else. Seamus, you ever use Teletext?
It's a while since I've used it, yeah, but I've seen it at some of the stations, all right. I mean,
do televisions nowadays still have a teletext button?
Well,
Maybe it's an old one, Joseph. I don't know.
No, it's not.
Maybe you need a new telly.
No, it's actually not an old one, because my last one fell over and broke, so I had to buy a new one. And,
What were the alternatives? You had Airtel, which is the RTE one, right?
Airtel.
BBC was CFAX.
Is that gone, is it?
I think that's gone, yeah. I think CFAX is gone. And there was Fortel on Channel 4.
TV3 were handy for one reason. The only reason I was...
Did they have teletext as well, TV3?
Yeah, but their weather forecast was a longer cast, and it was one of the better ones. Before you had you had apps and all. I'm going back into the 90s when they first came out.
Okay, so we're going off the topic. We're getting back to compulsory voting. Sorry, we're going on a bit of a tangent now.
So
you think it's a good idea, but you would like to see it tweaked a little bit in some sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're forced out to vote, you have to be given the option, none of the above. And I believe I would add in an extra little bit where you're allowed to give a rating to all the politicians that are up for
As I said to you, in Belgium, they do force people to turn up. You're not forced to vote. But you are forced to turn up and register. In other words, you must, you know, arrive at the hall, hand in your registration card. If you want to, you can say, listen, I don't want to vote, Grant, and walk back out the door. At least you've made the effort.
Yeah, I mean, I believe there's two great dangers to democracy, which is unfolding before us, right? It's happening. It's going to happen. I'm going to make predictions. I believe democracy is dead. That's what I firmly believe. In America,
I don't necessarily believe that the problem is democracy. I think it's the way democracy has been manipulated.
No. But the other chap was talking about Cambridge Analytica, and they made a big issue about Steve Bannon and mm-hmm. Facebook. What he did was tiny compared to what Obama did. Obama did all that before that, but on a vastly greater scale. The Democrats have direct access to all that stuff. The Democrats, they admit on all the big political shows now are all the comedy shows, and they admit that they talk to the Democrats all the time. That's why it's only Trump that's attacked. And that's why people are switching off to it. But
I happened to watch a bit of CNN because obviously the impeachment, it was like popcorn television, right? But it was bizarre how anti-Trump CNN actually are. I mean,
yeah, but this is what I mean. We're not getting any news. I follow.
Well, it would be fair to say it's balanced by the fact that Fox would be very pro-Trump.
No, it's not. It's not. That's a miss. That's not true.
Well, they certainly are a lot more pro-Trump than CNN would be.
A rabbit would be more pro-Trump than
a rabbit.
Both those stations, they're just two versions of North Korean TV, basically. You'll never get the truth from them.
But you're both comparing every station and suggesting there's a level of control, right, by obviously whoever the editors are, the owners are, and whatever the vested interest is, be it sponsors or whatever, right? So you're talking about North Korean TV, and you're equating RT to that. But so is there any, do you believe there's any impartial television or radio, apart from the independent sector?
Copy, kids.
Well, apart from the independent sector, we're independent.
they're never going to be impartial if they're state controlled. That's a fact. I mean, every half the members in RT are Fianna Gael or that's, and we all know that. I mean, Ryan Doherty is a classic example as well as Miriam.
Ryan Doherty's related to Chris Andrews, isn't he? I think he's a cousins or something like that, isn't he?
Chris Andrews.
He's a politician.
Yeah. Oh, who left Fianna Fáil and joined Sinn Féin?
Yeah, well, wasn't because his interpreter related to Dave McSavage, the comedian.
Right, he is. They're cousins, actually.
Yeah, that's right. And David McSavage is actually David Andrews, is his real name.
Yeah,
he's a brother of Chris Andrews.
Marion's brother was the former MEP, wasn't he?
Yeah, so the thing about it is, we could probably turn around and say, you know, that if you looked really at my relatives, I'm trying to think, do I have anybody linked to politics? You know, I mean, we could probably say that about everybody. I mean, I worked for one of the big radio stations here in Dublin, going back a while ago, which is owned by somebody who was to a tribunal at the time. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't find any control even at that time, even though that person who owned the radio station would have been part of the news. And there was no suggestion that, you know, you don't talk about me, even though I'm in the news. So what I'm saying is, I think sometimes that's a bit exaggerated. Maybe not with RT, but certainly in the independent section, it's a bit exaggerated. Stay there for a second. Both of you. Let me go to Brian. Brian, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Brian?
Hello. Yes, I've tuned into Classic Hits sometimes when I'm in the Dublin area. But only are people aware of the extent of the science of propaganda. Propaganda is not just about advertising, you know. Propaganda is a very scientific process, and we've been propagandized in Ireland for 50 years. The NUJ are the real controllers of the media in Ireland. Every member, every journalist in Ireland that I know, I think it's the only union there is that's really got any power, is the NUJ. And they have very set agendas in various important areas of life. Also,
to what extent, and by the way, there was a time where to work in radio or TV, you had to be a member of the NUJ. You don't have to anymore. But in saying that, to what extent do you believe that they would have control?
Well, for instance, there in the last big referendum, the abortion referendum, I put an ad in the paper mentioning the fact that, most journalists in Ireland were members of the NUJ and they had a set policy, abortion on demand, as a free and easy. Before, on page 3 of the local paper, the paper published in Letterkenny, on page 3, on their top right-hand side, was a reply from the secretary of the NUJ. And my article, actually complaining about it, was on page 7, way down at the bottom. So he had a reply into my article before it even appeared in the paper. You know what I mean?
Right, okay. Well, maybe he was asked for, given his right to reply.
Oh, of course, yeah. But they are sharp and they are active and they are capable. They're very scientific about the whole thing. Now, they don't, propaganda is not just about throwing a lot of extensive advertising and documentaries up on the... What they do is, it's analogous to, if you wanted to steer a big container ship into your pirate port, what they do is they change the compass settings. The navigators on the ship don't even know your decision-making is interfered with. The criteria by which you come to a decision is interfered with, and you don't even know it. It's a scientific process and been going on since the First World War. It was brought to perfection.
Look at Fine Gael and the NCT. I mean, you can't...
No. It was brought to perfection to get the Americans into the First World War. They spent a lot of money trying to persuade the Americans to join the First World War. And that's where it led on from there. And God knows how far it's developed now. It's really sad.
So you believe this progressive, as the word has been used by government, progressive society has been manipulated over the last 50 years?
Absolutely.
I know we're going into a slightly different topic, but does society not just naturally evolve anyway as new generations of people come along with different problems? Hang on, Seamus.
There's a good question there. Go back to where did civilization begin? It began simultaneously in Iraq, present-day Iraq, which was originally Mesopotamia, and simultaneously down in Egypt. Look at the state of those countries today. Have they improved? They've gone backwards. At 5000 BC, they started to have irrigation, weights and measures, and all sorts of stuff. The beginnings of civilization. And you know, everybody knows about Egypt. Egypt's not safe to go to now as for a tourist.
No.
I mean, the thing is, don't necessarily go forward.
No, I'm not saying progression is always a good thing, by the way. But I'm just saying, when you talk of manipulation and government or governmental manipulation or media manipulation, do you believe that society does naturally evolve anyway and people's opinions don't naturally change, be it from the left to the right or the right to the left,
no,
or whatever it happens
no,
to be?
No, absolutely not. We're like a man carrying a candle in a pitch dark city. He lights up a little bit and moves on, and that bit goes into darkness, and he lights up another bit. It's a very, very... if you look at historians, look at Herodotus or Thucydides, the people who wrote the histories of the Greeks and the Romans and the Jews and so on, and look at Cicero, they were far more enlightened than we are.
Getting back to the original topic, by the way, and I'm going to come back to Seamus and Jones for a second, but do you believe in compulsory voting?
No, I don't.
The turnout was particularly bad on Friday.
It was 20% or something. Yeah.
It was dismal. Well, in some places it was like 4 and 5%. It was low.
No, the question is why? Why was it such a bad turnout?
You have no control now. Mm. No matter who you vote for, you get the same stuff.
Well, Brian makes some brilliant points there. I'm in agreement on what he's saying. And he's against compulsory voting. But you see, I believe that we have been brought to this point by deliberately. And I'm going to make a statement here, right? Those who think that they are upsetting the system and rebelling against the system when they don't vote, actually, the politicians don't care. It's when you do vote and you don't vote for them that bothers them.
I agree. Can I just come in there?
Yes,
I agree. And that goes back to the point I made earlier on whereby young people, when it comes to like the enforcement of voting and putting the gun to the head and saying, we'll fine you if you don't do it, it's pointless. What they should be doing is airing out clearly on the airways, basically, to the whole nation, especially the young people and the young voters who may be uninformed, what would happen to your vote if you don't actually cast it. And you're right there, like the politicians, they are quaking. As soon as they hear there's a huge turnout, they panic because they know there's either something coming down that hill against them or it's going to go with them.
By the way, I do agree with all of you in relation to the media and their job and their role, particularly during general elections and referendum, probably even more so, because the last three referendums, from what I can see, the referendum was manipulated by the state. And by the media, by the way, whereby a certain agenda was put forward and everybody was told to agree with it.
And you were excluded from the debate. You were not allowed on the debate.
I had debates on all three referendums, Brian, and people were allowed on both sides.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so this station seems to be quite different. This station reminds me of the long, ongoing discussions that take place in Switzerland. Everybody in Switzerland gets their say, however long it takes. Irish people are not as patient. But in Switzerland, they have a canton system. There's 26 cantons in Switzerland, and they have a referendum if they want to build a bridge or a school or anything over 400,000.
Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? We'll all have a vote. Do we really need a children's hospital? Well, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Shane as well. Hang on, lads, please, hang on for a second. I need to go to Shane just before I go to the break. Shane, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Shane?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good, Shane. Jeez, a very intelligent conversation tonight. What's going on?
I know, and you're interrupting my Tinder lag.
I'm sorry about that, Shane. I do apologise. Were you swiping left or swiping right?
Swipe right and I got a match, so I was,
you know. Right. So, Shane, do you believe that we should have compulsory voting?
Some of the guys talk there probably won't agree with me, but I do. I do. I genuinely do. And the only time I've ever missed a vote was 1996 when I was abroad. I still go down to vote in the same place that I voted since I became legal age 18 or whatever it was at the time. I think three votes, be it a local election, European election, which obviously held the same, or a referendum or whatever, then I think your vote should be taken off you for the next.
Right.
Simple.
Okay, I'm just looking here. That Belgium have a system whereby if you fail to vote in at least four elections, you will lose your vote for 10 years.
I wouldn't agree with 10 years now, because 10 years is a long, long time.
It's only one government.
That opens all sorts of manipulation.
Technically, yeah, one presidential election.
Yeah, but guys, what you're voting for is who gets the salary for a TD, who gets the pension for a TD. You're not voting for policies at all. It has absolutely nothing to do with policy or votes. It's only for who gets the
money. Sorry, Shane. Finish what you're saying.
No, I just that was my point. It's just like, you know, I think 10 years is too long, because I think Irish government have to go after 5 years or something like that. But I have a niece now who's only 21 in January, and she's never voted.
Right.
She couldn't be bothered.
And has anybody ever said to her, you know, asked her why she didn't vote?
I have. And I said, you know, it's important, like, that you get down and you vote or whatever. Oh, sure, it doesn't affect me, it doesn't affect... I tell a lie, she voted for the marriage referendum.
Mm.
Because she's involved, not that she's gay or anything like that, because she's a boyfriend, but she's involved, some of her good friends are...
In college.
College, they're involved in the LGBT thing.
Well, that was, in fairness, the marriage equality referendum, there was quite a powerful lobby group from the universities and colleges.
They came home.
Yeah.
They flew in from all over the world for it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous.
It was paid for.
It was funded. But I mean...
Yeah, Niall, by the way, just I was listening to the program there one day, and it was an English lady that was talking. Now, as far as I know, and she said this herself, she's allowed to vote in elections, but in the referendum... for, I think, the abortion referendum, she and all the people that she knew shouldn't have been allowed to vote were all on the register.
Sarah was her name. I remember that caller, yes.
But the thing is, I've heard this, I've heard this already. That's good. Who did that? And there's no investigation whatsoever into it. This is at the very foundation of our democracy. Mm. And there you have a person giving testimony live on radio. But I guarantee you, if she said...
And she used the vote as well, by the way.
Yeah. Well, look, it's.
I think
it wasn't her fault if she was on the register. I'd vote too. But the thing is, if she used the let's just say the N word or some other word that was anti
hate speech.
That's
what they call it.
Okay. In Ireland, you're not. It's not happening just yet, but it's on the verge of it, because the government said they're going to bring in hate speech, which means it means the death of democracy. It's the death of democracy. In Germany, in Britain, the police will come to you for hate speech. If she was in the UK and she had said the N word or some other thing, they will call to you. But if you come on and say I fraudulently voted, nothing will happen to you, because, as she said herself, they assumed that she would vote a certain way because she was a foreigner. This is what disturbs me about our democracy.
Okay,
dead.
Yeah, well, sorry, Shane, do you believe... Okay, you believe young people should be educated more about how to vote and where to vote, etc., etc. I mean, did you know there was voting this week on Friday, Shane? Were you aware of it?
Absolutely, I was, yeah.
And was there voting in your area, by the way?
No, I'm in Limerick.
Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't know where you were. Okay, well, I mean, there was in some areas of Dublin, not in all. And the voting...
And I followed it as well.
There was a pretty poor turnout.
Very poor.
I mean, I didn't, and look, by the way, I'm not going to, you know, be a hypocrite here. I didn't vote, I'm from Swords, and there was by-elections in my area. I'll be honest with you, I was going up to Belfast anyway, so I didn't get an opportunity to go, but I didn't vote.
It takes 5 minutes to walk
in. I know, go on, give out to me, Shane, I deserve it. But I didn't, but I generally always do vote, but I didn't, because I'll be honest with you, I didn't have an interest in any of the candidates per se. I don't know a huge amount, but I know something about one of them, and that's the very reason why I wouldn't vote for the person. But the rest of them, I didn't really know enough about them to even get involved in thinking about who to vote for. So it didn't interest me.
Can I say something now?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose if I was in your shoes there and I there was no candidate I wanted to vote for, I'd actually still go in, but I'd spoil my vote. I'd write down what I thought of them on it. They don't like that either, by the way.
Well, nobody ever reads it, do they? They just throw it in the bin.
They're all looking over the shoulders, watching everything, and they do. They don't like to see stuff either. But the one they really hate, well, I'd vote. There's always some independent that they all detest.
Have you ever spoiled a vote, have you, yourself?
No, I haven't, no.
Have you ever spoiled a vote, Shane?
No.
Brian, have you ever spoiled a vote?
No, I have not. But next time round, I have nobody to vote for here in Donegal. Not one single individual.
And it is sad when you don't see anybody that kind of sparks your enthusiasm, isn't it? I mean, it is.
It's not just enthusiasm. There's none of them any good. Mm. Every one of them is damaging.
Isn't that the problem we're going to have in March? Probably March when the next general election is.
Yeah, yeah.
Who the hell are we going to vote for?
Well, can I just come in there?
Yeah, Seamus, go ahead. Yeah.
No, just listening to some of the comments there. But like, if you're not happy, how can anybody be happy with the current regime? I mean, this is a government that are opening the floodgates to any Tom, Dick and Harry from around Europe as an asylum seeker, using up hundreds of millions of our well-earned cash to basically house them, and that's it. Well, there's homeless people on the streets, you know, who did work. I mean, there was an article in one of the papers there, one of the local papers, I won't say, in one of the counties there recently, about a homeless guy. I mean, the story was just horrendous. A young guy in his 20s. Just one story out of tens of thousands. But these guys are just selling the whole country out to Europe. And if anybody's not happy about that, you know what? Dude, get out and vote them out. They need to get out of power.
Hang on, Seamus. Let's take the immigration issue, right? Okay. So you're saying get out. You have obviously a problem with the immigration issue, and I'm not going to disagree with you completely, right? Parts of it. I mean, I do believe that we should be a safe haven for people who are generally vulnerable in the world and generally in trouble, right? But I don't believe we should be a safe haven for economic migrants. Now, but if I was to go out and vote on that basis in an election, who would I vote for? Because if the independents seem to be all socialist, Fine Gael are definitely left-wing as far as I can see. Fianna Fáil have kind of more or less joined them and they're left-wing. They used to be a reasonably conservative party, Micheál Martin and the gang. I mean, and Labour, shall we forget about that for the moment. So who, and as for Sinn Féin, they're definitely left-wing. They've completely changed.
Hang on. No, I'll just respond to your comment there. If that was the attitude then for every person to take down, head down to the ballot, I mean, we'll be stuck in this limbo for the next 10 years under this current regime.
There's one or two right wings. There's one or two right wings, but some of them are nutcases. Yeah, but there are one or two right wings. And by the way, I consider myself slightly leaning to the right? But there are one or two right wing people out there who ran for election. But most of them, the ones that do, tend to be... I'm not going to mention any names, so please don't mention any names. I know you're all thinking what I'm thinking, right? One or two of them, they're nutcases. They're nuts. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you wouldn't put them in charge of a creche.
They're just
out and out racists. Yeah, but sorry, go on. Brian, you want to say something?
Right. Now, there's an interesting tie-up there between the question about refugees and the question of democracy. It's a very interesting correlation here. The government, in response to demands from the EU to house so many refugees, tried to impose it here in Mobile, in adjacent to myself here.
Yep.
And I took a hand at the meeting and spoke up because I actually formed myself, my initiative, to form the Irish Refugee Council way back in the early 90s.
Oh, that was yourself, was it?
Yes, it was indeed, yeah.
Okay.
In response to what I read in the papers about people from Vietnam being housed.
This is when the boat people came to Ireland.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were being cooped up in Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
In Hong Kong, having come across from Vietnam. and I thought we should be taking an initiative. But here's the point. The initiative that I was suggesting, and I immediately fell foul of the people who swamped into the Irish Refugee Council, the initiative was a parish-based, community-based initiative. And this is what I spoke up at Mobile about and got onto various forums over the head of it. It should be a spontaneous thing at grassroots level, accepting and welcoming a certain number that can be handled and for whom the facilities and the resources
and people who are genuinely in need of it, yes.
Yes, of course, and also welcomed by the people, and the people are given the facilities and the resources to deal with them educationally, medically, guards and...
That's not what the Irish Refugee Council are now, let me tell you.
No, exactly. They're far too left-wing. They want to impose it on people. They're the same idea as a government.
Niall.
And this is where the tie-up is interesting with democracy. The government solution was stick 100 in there, stick 200 in there, and whether the people like it or not, they're going to get them, you know?
Seamus, very quickly, because I'm running out of time here. Go on. Hang on, Brian. Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Seamus.
Was
it Seamus wanted to say something? Yeah,
no, go ahead. It's me, actually, and I'll just...
Joseph.
He was just talking about the shoving of the people in. Like, it's the government's response to it was, we're going to bring in hate speech to stop these people. That's democracy. So when locals go out in protest and the media branded them racist, they brought on the Refugee Council and branded them racist and hateful. And the government said, who's the minister at the moment? Is it Flanagan or who? I don't know who the hell
Mrs.
it is.
Staunton, isn't it?
Some yeah. cardboard cutout anyway. He just said, we're going to bring in hate speech. And he referenced the Achill Island when he was...
And Oettingard, he referenced Oettingard as well, yeah.
Yeah, but he referenced it was it's a time at the height of the Achill protest. There, he said we're going to have to do something about this, and we're going to bring in hate speech to stop this. And now the Garda Commissioner is going after people online with hate speech. They're going to bring in new laws.
What I found strange about Drew Harris's comments during the week was he said that there's a concerning rise in right wing views, and I said to myself. What's wrong with having right-wing views?
Yeah, but
is it a crime now to have right-wing views? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about suggesting racist or bizarre views, and there are one or two people out there. I don't understand how the police commissioner, the Garda commissioner, suggesting that right-wing views are a criminal offence.
But it's not his business to be political. And here, it's not his business.
Come in there.
Yeah, sorry, yes.
Can I just come in there? This is all an agreement. This is all undercutting, under the cuff agreements between the current regime that we have here, Fianna Fáil, and the European bosses. They're selling out Irish people to fulfil their own future in European jobs or wherever it may be, as long as we're in Europe. They're doing what they're told to do, which is just, and it is anti-democratic, and it's going against what the Irish people want. Irish people need to wake up. They need to see what's going on around them. And, like, it's like a North Korean lifestyle at this point.
Shane, are you happy with the way previous referendums and elections have been run in this country and the information you've been given?
No.
Do you believe our government is somewhat impartial in any shape or form?
No.
No. Well, I believe governments should be, and I know that they're to represent people.
I think it's very, very hypocritical of Drew Harris to come out and say what he said.
Absolutely. I find it bizarre.
Considering what he was before he became the commissioner.
Well, absolutely, and his own background. Sorry, Brian.
Our constitution states that all matters will be referred in the final analysis to the people. We're supposed to be the rulers. We have zero say at the moment in what happens to our country. They talk about, sure, it's the economy, stupid. That's nonsense. It's all the economy, stupid. There's a lot more to life than the economy. We don't have a democracy. We're moving towards totalitarianism with this hate speech and surveillance of all kinds. More and more laws now, they're chopping us up. We soon we're going to have to get into a car, and before we can start off, we're going to have to radio the traffic control tower for permission to take off.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, listen, lads, thank you very much indeed, Brian. It was an interesting conversation. Shane, Joseph, Seamus, and everybody else who got involved in that conversation. Okay, some of the text coming in. I spoiled my presidential vote. I wrote, Christ is king, and the vote says Dara. Did you, Tara? Interesting. All voting does is give the people the illusion that they have to have a say in how the country is run. politicians don't do what they promise. Well, that's a well-known fact, apart from one or two. It's just a way for the people to vent their frustration and aggression of the, on those in power. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are businesses, not political parties, in my opinion, says Michael. Immigrants are needed to grow a population and support pensions as our population ages. Bullshit. I do believe in diversity. I think it's extremely important, particularly when we have a small population. I understand the point you're making to some extent. But when you say needed, the current form of immigration that we have in this country is certainly not going to support the pensions as the population ages, because many of the people that have come into this country are unemployed and they're not contributing to the economy. So I don't understand the point you're trying to make. John Waters' latest book has a great quote that I'll paraphrase about how we know, regardless of who we vote for, that the people with ultimate power are above the politicians.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.